All right. Let's move on to the regular agenda.
Item 1044, amend contract with Brown and Caldwell, Inc. for additional work and compensation for the Southwest 86th Avenue Pump Station and Appurtenances Project number E09051 for $316,194.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to introduce Scott Gibson, who will make the presentation. But to summarize, this ordinance, if approved, would increase the amount of the design contract with Brown and Caldwell to address a number of construction issues that have come up during the course of the Southwest 86th Avenue Pump Station project that require additional design. Scott, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. As the Commissioner said, my name is Scott Gibson. I'm a principal engineer with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and with me today is Mr. Dan Hebert. He's a senior engineer who oversees our pump station engineering program, as well as the project manager for this contract and project. As the Commissioner said, we're here requesting additional authorization to amend our contract with Brown and Caldwell to increase the scope and the cost for their work on the Southwest 86th Avenue Pump Station. This amendment will increase their level of effort in support of the construction phase. That's the first thing I wanted you to know, is the pump station is in construction currently, and our current request is associated with their support for those construction activities. And we'll also add a design task required by recent negotiations with Twalton Hills Parks and Rec to do some mitigation on an adjacent trail to the pump station. So I'll lead off with a discussion of this project, its history, and how we have addressed the changes to date. And then Dan will present the current proposed amendment, and we'll both be available for questions. And now, the City of Portland owns and operates the Fano Pump Station. This station is located west of the city limits in unincorporated Washington County. The neighborhood there is known as the Garden Home neighborhood, and the station is just west and south of the Portland Golf Club, and it's adjacent to the Twalton Hills Nature Trail. It's a heavily used trail. The station pumps wastewater from a combination of City of Portland and Clean Water Services customers, and it's pumped up over the West Hills, where it flows down into our collection system and north to the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant. That's okay. The existing Fano pump station has a current pumping capacity of 24 cubic feet per second. Our modeling analysis has showed that we would need to pump at 47 cubic feet per second in order to meet all the needs at that station. So our plan is to build a new pump station adjacent to the existing one, which would provide that 23 cubic feet per second capacity. At this time, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the project's challenges. The first challenge is the need to meet a schedule that was outlined in our agreement with the Department of Environmental Quality and Clean Water Services. And without the ability to adjust the schedule in response to change, options for how we have proceeded has been limited, and that's been a driver for the amendments that I'll describe. Also, we were also faced with the challenges associated with major construction in a residential neighborhood. In this case, homes are very close to the construction and also the Fano Creek Trail. And accommodations for homeowners and trail users were difficult to identify when we started the design process. And incorporating these needs as they have been identified has been a second driver for change in this. Finally, a series of other BES projects in the vicinity have created both construction fatigue by residents and an organized opposition to our project and to the negative impacts on the neighborhood. So that's all challenged our ability to move forward in a responsible way. In this photo, you can see the project under construction, as well as the close proximity of the homes and the neighbors. The white roofs are residential single-family homes. Many of these are the Trumer style slab on grade 50s, what do they call them, Atomic Ranch style houses. And there's some unique challenges with those that we've been addressing. And also along the north side, the trail runs immediately north of the project. You can see the existing pump station, and our current pump station is under construction. In the first of these photos, we see the access road, which is Southwest 86th Avenue, that has come up in one of the amendments I'm going to describe. And in the remaining photos, you can see construction activities along with the timber sound wall that we constructed to mitigate noise. The residents, as we said, are very close to the construction. We've worked very hard with them to minimize our impacts on their life. And as we go forward, in June of 2012, we executed our first amendment. It was signed by the purchasing agent. And it increased the contract amount by $412,000, or 22% of the original amount. This work, or this change, was driven by land use requirements that were received from Washington County, and we needed additional services to help address those. And then the second driver was the existing pump station at that time was suffering from some maintenance issues. We have four pump sets in that existing pump station. At one point, approaching the winter, we had two pumps out of service due to moisture failures and seals. So at that time, we decided we needed to replace the existing pumps in the pump station, and we added the design of that work to the Brown and Caldwell contract and ultimately ended up adding the construction phase of that work to our existing contract with J.W. Fowler for the new pump station. Amendment 2 was executed in December 2012. It was authorized by council ordinance. It increased the contract amount by $297,000, an additional 16%. At this time, we're responding to issues, again, in the existing pump station, where we had vibration and pressure surges, transient surges at the headers, and we were relying on Brown and Caldwell to help us understand and analyze what was going on and come up with mitigations. And actually, they recommended that we construct a temporary buried surge tank, once again, on the existing pump station. And we amended the contract to allow for design of that facility. That facility was constructed and is now in service. Amendment 3, once again authorized by ordinance in June of 2013, increased the contract amount by $359,000, or another 19%. This was associated with additional work and compensation needed to address Southwest 86th Avenue, which I showed in the slide. As a part of our land use, Washington County required that we bring that substandard street up to county standards. We needed design services to do that, and we amended the contract with Brown and Caldwell to do that, and that has been designed but not contracted. We also had, we're going through the final building permit with Washington County, and we had an increase in number of building permits, which is also included in that amendment. We had over 55 building and trade permits that we needed to apply for, and that process ran long. Finally, the Fourth Amendment, which was approved in February of 2014, was $464,000, increased by 9%. And this was essentially, we had a failure on the existing forest main, once a man, with the existing pump station. And because Brown and Caldwell was there and was working, we asked them to design a chain, a repair to a manufactured manway, and they implemented that repair as well. One of the reasons why I brought up the schedule constraints was that there are options, there would have been options to go to additional or alternate engineering firms. But at the time, Brown Caldwell was the firm with the expertise. They were performing extremely well. And because of the schedule deadlines, we thought the best option for us was to amend their contract. These were all approved by the council in the past, and Dan's here to talk about our current status and our current request.
Thank you, Scott. Again, my name is Dan Hebert. I'm the senior engineer in charge of the pump station engineering section and the project manager for this particular project. Right now, as Scott mentioned, the project's in construction. We're about 55% complete, or we were in the middle of January when I started preparing the presentation. The public improvements on Southwest 86 and the Southwest 84th, Scott mentioned, were a permit requirement. Those plans are done and they're approved by the county and permitted, but we don't have them under contract for construction at this point. We haven't decided whether it's going to be a change order to the existing contract or whether it would be a new contract at some point in time. We have until the July 1st of 2016 to get that work completed. Most recent change, again, we have been in discussions with Twelton Hills Park and Recreation District for a number of years over several projects related to the Fano Basin Pump Station project. Most recent change is there's a portion of the work on the Southwest 86th Avenue Pump Station project that's in a large diversion manhole west of the creek, and the only access to that is through the Fano Creek Trail. And so we negotiated an easement with Twelton Hills Park and Rec to use that trail for construction purposes. And one of the compensations for that use was the agreement to design and upgrade that trail to their current standards. So we need to get that design work done. And there's also some permitting work required for that because there's two wetlands areas immediately adjacent to the trail and a few trees that have to be removed that are coming under the jurisdiction of both Washington County and Clean Water Services. So that process will take a little bit of time to achieve. Again, that easement was only finalized just about 6 weeks ago, so we've added that work as a proposed new task in this amendment number 5. Last bullet here about engineering support for construction services. This has been it's a large project and a very constrained site and very highly technical project, a high pressure pump station. That involves series types pumping and fairly large motors. And while the contractors performed very well, it's required an awful lot of coordination on proposed changes they've made. Brown and Caldwell has to go back and change some of the design work. A good example of that is we have a 60-inch diameter influent pipe that was designed to be installed in a trenchless technology inside a casing pipe. And the contractor proposed an alternate method that we had to go back through Brown and Caldwell and geotechnical engineer to redesign that whole process to achieve the savings that the contractor proposed for that piece of the project. But again, so those were the types of things that came up. And we've had a challenge in trying to get a number of the equipment submittals reviewed and approved, and it's taken sometimes as many as 6 or 7 resubmittals on some of the more intricate equipment, or the larger pumps in particular, are still in that process. So it's been a much higher effort than we had originally estimated when the scope of the contract with BNC was negotiated originally. Again, I've already talked about adding the new task 11 for the Fano Creek Trail. So the proposed amendment amount is $316,194, which is 17% of the original contract amount. And if it's approved, the authorized amount for the contract will be $3,412,374, which, with all 5 amendments together, represents 83.3% of the original contract amount. Just a few dollar facts about the contract, the construction contract with J.W. Fowler. The contract amounts a little over $15.6 million through January. We'd spent about $8.6 million on the project. Change orders on the project are really very low for a project of this size and the complexity. Approved change orders are just over 0.1%, and right now our total change order exposure is about 1.5% on the project, which we're very pleased with. Right now, and if the council approves going forward this amendment, BNC's costs for construction services, or actually for through all phases of the project, will be $2,934,000. Construction services, that is about $620,000, roughly 4% of the construction cost. And if the decision is not to approve or go forward with the amendment, I'll have some challenges to deal with, and that we'll have to dial back Brown and Caldwell's construction support services to only those services absolutely required to comply with permit requirements, since they are the engineer of record on the project. And we would have to severely limit the scope of their services during a startup and testing of this project, probably in December of this year, which is going to be a fairly intricate task to start it up and integrate it with the existing pump station, which is the plan. And we'd need to select a consultant, execute a separate PT agreement for the trail design that we're obligated to do on the project. So I should have put request instead of recommendation on this slide. So the request is to authorize amendment number 5 to contract with Brown and Caldwell.
Great. Thank you. Couple questions. Others may have some, too. Obviously, a big, complicated, expensive, pretty significant investment project. What's the useful life of this new pump station once it's done? I mean, I understand pumps and those kinds of things have to be replaced, but we're actually building a whole new structure, replacing the previous one. What do you estimate is the useful life of this investment?
Well, the useful life of the pump station equipment is roughly 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So just the buildings, if they're maintained properly, the useful life is much longer than that, and it depends on the level of maintenance of the structures. And the way the city bureau generally maintains their pump stations, the physical life is indefinite, with some significant remodels on about a 40 to 50-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
As the electronics and control systems are the ones that change most often, and actually custom sewage pumps in this size range have a predicted service life without, you know, severe problems of somewhere in the range of 50 years.
Okay, that's great. And then, you know, we've had a number of projects both from water and BES lately that are, in effect, reconfiguring the system a bit. I assume that our system planning work in water and BES is fully attached to our comp plan work in the sense of how much growth we're going to have in development over a very long period, at least the planning period of the next iteration of the comp plan, so that in terms of what capacity we'll need in the water and sewer and stormwater systems is as expected, properly synced up with what the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is doing.
Yeah, and Dan actually modified the basically infrastructure portion of those plans as a part of this project very early in the project.
Right. Yeah. So
yes, we're very in sync with the future land use projections, and like I said, we went through the process of modifying that plan to accommodate to address our needs in this area.
We are scheduled, I think, next week. I think it's the 12th or something. I forget when, but the rate hearing review process that we'll do. And I hope at the appropriate time with both bureau directors there after the presentation, you pose that question.
Yeah.
I think that's essential for understanding the five-year capital spending plan and also just the priorities for capital spending within the bureau. And I think it would be also something the public would benefit from hearing the answer to.
Okay, good. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Anyone want to speak on this item?
Joe Walsh requested to speak.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I just have a couple of questions maybe your staff can answer. It seems in the presentation that this project has been going on since 1989. Is that accurate? In the presentation, they used the year 1989, and then they went through the historical background of how much we had to increase in order to do the modifications. So it seems to go all the way back to 1989. If that's accurate or close to being accurate, our point is when the prime contractor is given the contract, let me finish first. When they're given the contract, does that ever change or are they locked in? So suppose you want to build a pump station and you go in and you estimate, well, okay, it's going to take 5 years to do this, but now you're into 10 years or 15 years. Do the same contractors just roll over, or are they open up to further bids? And our concern is that if you look through that presentation, there's a constant increase of hundreds of thousands and in some cases millions of dollars that are involved in this thing. And it never goes down. It always goes up. You know, so when you're doing construction, say, in a pumping station, things go wrong. No problem with that. Anybody that's ever changed a washer in an old sink knows things go wrong. However, First, I would like to have an answer to that question about the prime contractor. And second, we get very nervous when we see these things going up and up and up and up over the years. And if this thing's been going on that long, how is the relationship with the neighbors? I mean, I get really annoyed if somebody is doing construction outside our place after 2 days. If this thing's been going on since 1989, you must have new neighbors every 6 months moving into this place. So anyway, that's the question there. And also, we're concerned about the constant upgoing. And also, we're concerned that if the prime contractor has a lock on this thing, then that excludes other contractors coming in and trying to do some work. So we're worried about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Scott, could you come back for a second, and I'll walk you through the questions that Mr. Walsh has posed. Please. And they're all good questions, and let me take a crack at framing them and just ask you to respond. So when did this project first begin?
The design contract with Brown & Caldwell was executed in 2011, August of 2011. Can you remember when we NTP for Fowler was? It was
the construction contractor, Fowler, their notice to proceed was in July of 2013.
Okay, so that clarifies that not doesn't go back to 1989, but to 2011. And there's a contractor and there is a company providing engineering and design services. Could you just identify them both?
Sure. The engineering design services contract is Brown & Caldwell Incorporated. The construction contractor is J.W. Fowler
Company. Okay. So this particular ordinance seeks additional funding to pay Brown and Caldwell.
That's correct.
To provide some services, correct?
The bulk of this proposed amendment is to provide additional services during construction to support our construction services and construction inspection services.
Now, Mr. Walsh asked about the prime contractor. So where do we stand in terms of the cost of the what we're paying the prime contractor on this contract?
The prime contractor, that's the $15 million. Let me go back to this slide. The construction contract, Fowler's bid, was $15,632,000, which is slide 15. And so right now we have a total change order exposure on that for things that we know about halfway through the project of about $240,000, which is about 1.5% of the construction cost.
So if nothing else changes, it may be that we're as much as 1 to 2% above the contract amount that we would be paying J.W. Fowler
for the construction contract. That's
correct. That's the $15 million contract.
Correct.
That's not what's before us today. It is for the services of a second company. And Mr. Walsh also asked about the relationship with the neighborhood. Now we could spend a whole day on that, Scott. But the reality is there have been impacts that we've been trying to mitigate. Could you just give a concise answer to that question?
We're doing our best to work with the neighbors and doing everything that we can to minimize our impact there. Last week, I think you approved some mitigation for immediately adjacent neighbors. They were individually crafted plans to work with our construction, say an autistic child, a man who had a studio. So we've done a lot, an audio recording studio, so we've made some improvements to help minimize our impact to them. And that activity has been ongoing. And it's been a major source of these changes is to continue to revise our project to make it as compatible as possible. That said, we have been out there doing construction, and it's been challenging. And so far, it's gone well with this contract. But there's been a series of other BES projects under separate contracts that have been underway for 6-7 years now.
Yes.
We're in Washington County. We're subject to a different set of regulatory requirements. There is a residential area abutting. There is a natural challenge and tension of having a pump in a residential area. There are things like vibrations and other things we have been trying to mitigate. Mr. Walsh raises a good point. In fact, the council has authorized on more than one occasion some mitigation funds to address the concerns of neighbors. So
one thing I'd add there that Scott didn't talk about is Debbie Castleton is involved as the public outreach director or person on this project. And we've also, they've formed a citizen advisory committee that meets regularly of citizens in the neighborhood to talk about the project and to offer guidance and suggestions for things that might help them. So that's another step we've taken on the project.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Thanks very much. This moves to second reading next week.